In your Bible, please, the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, and I'm reading again this morning from verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and the kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. Was on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice, like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all of its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I became dead, and behold, I am living forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. A vision. John now is privileged, while suffering for the cause of Christ on the Isle of Patmos, to be given a vision of the Ancient of Days, the Almighty God, the one who became dead, who is living forever and ever. You remember earlier, and throughout our study, our Lord gives us more times together, we have connected, especially to the prophet Daniel. He, like other of the prophets, was privileged to have a vision. A vision not only of the Ancient of Days, but the days that the Ancient of Days had set forth until he brings all of it to a climax, a glorious, as we have seen, catastrophic, glorious climax. And so once again, for the beginning of our study this morning, turn back to Daniel chapter 7. Come on back to Daniel, the 7th chapter. I'm reading from verse 9. As I looked, thrones were set in place. And the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and his wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Daniel now, having received under the direction of the Spirit of God this vision of the Ancient of Days, and the vision that will unfold the days that God has provided for those whom He has created and made, is looking and he beholds this picture, this person who he identifies as the Ancient of Days. One of the unique things about the Scriptures is that we see God set forth in His distinctiveness. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we also see in the Scriptures the indivisibleness of this great Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Unique, as He is revealed in His distinctive persons, and yet indivisible. The DNA of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is the same. His clothing was as white as snow. His hair on his head is white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. Verse 11, then I continued to watch because of the boastful words of the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their power or authority, but they were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. Coming with the clouds of heaven, he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. The distinctiveness of the Godhead. He was given authority, glory, sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. The indivisibleness of the Godhead, the DNA of the Father and the Son, here the same. Come on back to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 13, among the lampstands was one, someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest, and his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire, and his feet like bronze glowing in the furnace. I remember, and I can't help, and every time I read this passage, and I'm just, again, overwhelmed with the magnificence, the majesty of this revelation of our wonderful God, of a black preacher who actually went to the same school that I was privileged to go to for undergraduate work, Philadelphia College of Bible. But he was a working guy. He was working a tough job. He was a Philadelphia cop. And he was going to the evening division of Philadelphia College of Bible, which was quite extensive back in the 60s. And I remember him sharing before a group of pastors his heart's passion. And as he shared, he referenced, of course, the magnificence of this revelation of Almighty God. And then he said, as only a simple child of God from a ethnic background that has had its difficulties, "Guys, I don't want to upset you, but I think Jesus was black." "Do you know any white men who have hair like wool?" "And complexion and feet like bronze?" The vision here is of Almighty God. The God who has made all and loves all, red and yellow, black and white, for they are precious, we are precious in His sight. Notice this vision, though, is awesome. It is not only awe-inspiring, it is awesome in that it brings us to a reverence and fear of the One who is just. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. This vision allows us to see the purity, the cleansing, the refreshing that is provided by this Almighty God. In His right hand, He held seven stars, and out of His mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. Going back again to 19th chapter, the 19th chapter of Revelation. We've been there before, but let us be reminded, because John will be setting forth that which was already done and that which was being done and that which was yet to come. And in verse 11 of chapter 19, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one but he himself knows in its entirety. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, the royal robe of our Redeemer is the robe of a righteous judge. And his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses dressed in fine linen, white and clean. He is a God of purity. He is a God of cleansing. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of Almighty God. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, "Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great." And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. What an awesome picture this vision sets forth in Revelation chapter 1. One like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest, and his head and hair white like wool, and white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace. His voice like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. You remember, and if you don't, flash back with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. Matthew, chapter 17. We're a privileged three. Peter, James, and John were given a peek into his perfection. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured, changed. They would get a peek at his perfection, his purity. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said, "Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came, touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. Back again to our Revelation vision in chapter 1. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. And when I saw it, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. You know, John had had what clearly the scriptures have set forth as in the humiliation of Jesus, in his humanity, an intimacy of a relationship that no one else, humanly speaking, ever experienced. It's probably most perfectly pictured in the upper room, the last Passover meal, where it is recorded that John, this John now, up in years, 90, as a young man there in that setting, laid his head back on the chest of Jesus. As they partook of that meal, they did so reclining. And here was this young disciple. Who was privileged to be so close to be able to rest his head on the chest of God. God in flesh. But now in this vision, 90 some years of age, it is not the Jesus, it is not the Christ of his humiliation. It is the Christ of his honor. It is the Christ who he was privileged with Peter and James to get a peek at as far as his purity and perfection, who now he is given a full picture of who he is. And there's only one response. He falls on his face as a dead man. The book of the Revelation connects us so perfectly to other of the scriptures that we call the prophetic portions of God's Word. One of the great prophetic portions of the Word of God is the prophet Ezekiel. Come on with me for a moment. Back to Ezekiel. Now, it took you a while to find Daniel, but if you can find Daniel, you can find Ezekiel because it's just one kick back. Ezekiel was provided a great privilege that would prepare him to declare the person and the plan of Almighty God. John is given this revelation that is of the person of Almighty God and his plan from beginning to end. Ezekiel, given a vision concerning the person of God and his plan from beginning to end. Daniel, Ezekiel, given a vision concerning the person of God and his plan from beginning to end. Now this is an overwhelming vision that he receives in order to set forth the person and plan of the Almighty. Ezekiel 1. In the 13th year, in the 4th month of the 5th day, while I was among the exiles by the Kibar River, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. A multiplicity, a plethora of a vision of the person of God. On the 5th day of the month, it was the 5th year of the exile of King Jehoiachin, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kibar River in the land of the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. There the hand of the Lord was upon him. I looked, and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning, and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was that of a man, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, their feet were like those of a calf, and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had the heads of a man. All four of them had faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each of the four had the face of a man. And on the right side, each had the face of a lion. And on the left, the face of an ox. Each also had this overwhelming face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread up. Up. Each had two wings, one touching the wing of the other creature on either side, and two wings covering its body. Each one went straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go without turning. As they went, the appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire, like torches. Fire moving back and forth among the creatures. It was bright, and lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like the flashes of lightning. Wow. A whirlwind of wonder. These four living creatures, like a man, with faces, lion, faces, ox, face, eagle, fearsome face of the lion, the powerful of the ox, the swiftness of the eagle, an overwhelming whirlwind of wonderment. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw the wheel of the ground beside each of the creatures and its four faces. This was the appearance and structure of the wheels. They sparkled like crystallite, and all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intersecting a wheel. And as they moved, they would go in and only one of the four directions the creatures faced. The wheels did not turn about as the creatures went. Their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around. This whirlwind of wonder has within it these four creatures, and the whirlwind has these four wheels of wonder. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, and the wheels would rise along with them because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. when the creatures moved, they also moved. When the creatures stood still, they also stood still. And when the creatures rose from the ground, the wheels rose along with them because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked like an expanse, sparkling like ice and awesome. Under the expanse, their wings were stretched out one toward the other, and each had two wings covering its body. When the creatures moved, I heard the sound of their wings like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings. A whirlwind of wonder. These wheels of wonder, these wings of wonder, this fearsome, powerful, swift, awesome, overwhelming vision. Then there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads as they stood with lowering wings. Above the expanse, over their heads, was what looked like a throne of sapphire. And high above, on the throne, was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as a full fire. And that form there, from there down, he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds as of a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking in his presence. The best posture is always prostrate. Ezekiel will be then given a message. It's a message about the person and plan of Almighty God. John, in his personal relationship with Jesus in his humiliation, rested his head on his chest. But now, in the vision of the majesty of his person, in the awesomeness of his coming as judge, in his purity, in his perfection, there's only one posture. It's prostrate. Isaiah chapter 6. Another of the great servants of God that would have a unique privilege. He would receive a vision. It would be a vision of the person and the plan of Almighty God. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphims, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two wings they covered their feet. With two they were flying. And they were called to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. God Father, Holy, God's Son. Holy, God, Holy Spirit. The purity, the perfection, the person of God. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. An awesome vision of the Almighty that brings an immediate response of contrition. Woe is me! There will be a cleansing, and then there will be a commission for Isaiah to go to reveal the person and the plan of Almighty God. Now for most of us, it is so difficult to identify with some of these wonderful servants of Almighty God. We're privileged to have such overwhelming visions. But there are certain characters in the Word of God that it's a little more easy to identify with sometimes. For me, just to let you know, it's Samson, not because of his strength, but because of his failures. But we were privileged, now how time flies, years ago, to do a study in the book of Job. Job had a lot of trials. He's a righteous man. But he had a series of catastrophic things happen in his life. But this he knew. He knew that he loved God and that he wanted to glorify God. And he was overwhelmed with what had happened to him. And yet when his friends, and friends like Job had, we don't need, his comforters, who came and basically said, Job, we know what we see on the outside is a righteous man. But when we see what's happening to you, you got to confess up. There's got to be something going on that we don't know about, because you shouldn't be experiencing these things. That's not how the righteous go through a life with a loving God. And so he does what you and I would do. He does it from a much more righteous perspective. He defends himself. And in his defense, he goes so far as to address all of those who were convicting him, to say, I'm okay. I'm right. Even when it comes to understanding what God is doing. Job chapter 42. Job finally hears from God. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, Who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. There's only one posture. That is right in the presence of Almighty God. It is a posture. Prostrate before Him. Job acknowledged, you are a sovereign God. I remember in that study, I tried to wrap up as we saw the unfolding drama, because that is what the book of Job is all about. The book of Job with these words. Job, I am God. You are not. But you can trust me. Father, thank you for these moments this morning as we continue to allow you to open up this revelation of Almighty God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The vision of your person and your plan, and how we, by your grace and mercy, relate to you and what you alone have done, are doing, and going to do. All for that express purpose. That we might learn to trust you, Almighty God. Thank you for these moments together. In Jesus' name, amen.